Let's ask for God's help, shall we? Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me today. Break me, melt me, mould me, fill me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What are you like, eh? What are you like? Well, we read in Matthew chapter 5 these verses. We're looking at specifically at verses 3 to 10, generally known as the be attitudes. And you can't be these attitudes unless, as each line suggests, God is giving you the be attitude. So what are you like? Well, be honest, what are you like? I see you every week, I talk to you every week. I see you after you have a few ciders. And you tell me all sorts of things. But whilst you're talking to me and other believers here, whilst you go about your daily life, when you're here, when you're at our gatherings, we see one face. But God sees you and he knows you and he searched out your heart and mind and he knows every nuance and nook and cranny of your affections and your mind, your heart and your soul. And he knows whether your soul is his, whether he possesses you and whether you surrendered everything to him. He knows that. Do you know? Do you know? So what are you like? What are you like? Well, we looked at these Beatitudes, did we not? Now, if you were describing the human race to an alien, I know I keep quoting these mysterious aliens, but whether they're out there or not, I don't know. Although, if you go down to town centre, you do think they've already landed. They've got bones through their noses, they've got hair sticking up, all sorts of funny colours, and they're really strange things. And they're connected to the mothership because they're walking around like this all the time, with their beaming up Scotland machine in their hands, otherwise known as a mobile phone. But if you were describing as human race, you could do no wrong, actually, than to take these Beatitudes, turn them on their head, and give the alien the very reverse of what this being attitude is that only the Creator can give you, to describe society and human beings as you see them around you today without God, which the vast majority aren't. So instead of those who are poor because they realise their need for him, verse 3, and if you've got the NLT, you might want to put brackets around the word and put in because, that's a better word I think there. They are poor because, otherwise you don't get the sense of it's poor in spirit, you can just be talking about poverty and then dissociate that from realising your need of God, okay? So because is a better word there, I think. God blesses those who are poor in spirit. They have a poverty of spirit. But instead of this awareness of an inadequacy and a dissatisfaction, we see, what do we see? Usually we see the rankest pride in people, don't we? We see that it's strong, it's violent, it's excessive. We've all got rights. And I demand this, and I demand that. And I can do all things, and I can do this, and I am this, and me, me, me. This is what we generally see. There is no humility. There is nobody who realises that their spirit, their soul, is impoverished because something is missing. We will not admit that we were created for God and were meant to have him in our hearts and lives. In fact, He's been so far removed from our hearts and lives that we don't even know that's the answer and the solution anymore. We just know there's a void there and we're dissatisfied, and nothing satisfies. We have a poverty of spirit. But instead of that, we see pride, self-sufficiency, and all the rest of them. I appreciate I'm generalising, but that's generally what we see in the human race around us. Instead of mourners, God blesses those who mourn. Instead of mourners, those who know they've got an impoverished spirit and they have an inability to worship God and reach their Creator by any of their own efforts. Instead of mourners, we see today what? Pleasure seekers. Don't be so miserable. Don't go to that church down the road. That fiery preacher, as I've been called. All he talks about is sin and, you know, repenting and hell and all that nasty stuff. Oh, miserable Puritans, you know, long faced. Cheer up! Be happy! There's a radio program on Radio 2, I only accidentally hear it, I don't know why I hear it, but the signature tune is Enjoy Yourself, It's Later Than You Think. I kid you not, that's the song, the signature tune. We don't see mourners, do we, who know that they're impoverished inside, who mourn over their inadequacy to reach anything or anyone above or beyond themselves. There is none of that, is there? We're just pleasure seekers now. We'll drown it out. We'll drown the noise of our conscience, the dead satisfaction of our hearts, the emptiness. We'll fill it all up. We'll fill it all up with all kinds of stuff and things and pleasures and distractions. What is it for you? If God isn't your creator, if you fail to acknowledge that, if you do not submit to that, if he hasn't got your soul and your sins, and if you do not sense him and feel him inside because you've been forgiven and reconciled, what is it for you that fills up the void and the hole? Instead of meekness, people being submissive and mild-mannered, what do we get? Aggressive arrogance. You know, be your own man, be your own woman, get out there, grab the world by the throat. Well, that's great unless you're the world that's being grabbed by the throat at the time. Who dares wins? Yeah, who dares also gets killed. It's all summed up so well, isn't it? By that Queen record, which I'm always quoting. We are the champions. No time for losers. Losers. You a loser? Well, you are, according to the world, if you've got poverty of spirit, if you're mourned over your inability to reach God, and if you're meek and submissive and teachable, you're a loser, says the world. Up goes the fingers. Hell shows. Oh, so clever, so satirical, so funny. That's the attitude we see, isn't it? God blesses those who are humble. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you long to reach up, having acknowledged that there is a creator God, and no matter how vague that perception is, do you then try to reach up and yearn and long to discover him? There are quite a few today that are doing something like that. Now, I will be gracious, I'm not always cynical, that there are many in church today that will be doing that, but they're looking in the wrong place. They're not looking for Jesus Christ, the narrow gates. They're looking for the organisation, they're looking for the ritual, they're looking for the pat on the back, they're looking for the feel-good factor. Sincerely, But they're not looking for Jesus Christ, the narrow gate. You know why? Because it's a narrow gate, and it's easily missed. If you're diligently searching, God says, those that seek me diligently will find me. Where are you looking? What are you looking for? Those who hunger after righteousness to find God. The only way you're going to find God is and get to heaven is through the staircase, Jesus Christ. Blessed are the merciful. Are you merciful? Can you feel compassion for those who are at disadvantage, those who are weak? Do you feel compassion for those who think they're so strong and clever? Do you pity them? Because they're not actually. What is your attitude? Are you merciful? You should be merciful, shouldn't you? To fellow humans especially, into God's creation. I can't bear to see animals suffering, you know. Blessed are the merciful. What's your inclination? All joking apart, what's your inclination of your heart? Even those who appear arrogant and full of themselves, you see them and tell them to the celebrities. Do you feel mercy towards them? Do you feel pity? And not in a patronising way, but you think, oh Lord, if only you would open their eyes. If only you would bring into their lives the challenge of your gospel. If only you would arrest them. Blessed are the merciful. Purity of heart. Whoa. Who's got purity of heart? Who can actually put their hands up? Probably the only person with the Dalai Lama on top of the mountain is Vince Evo, okay? Can put his hand up. But I wonder what goes through his heart and mind sometimes. Does he truly worship Jesus Christ? Then he hasn't got purity of heart. Purity of heart. I look at myself when I wake up in the morning before I've even done anything, before I've got out of bed. And I'm confessing my sin before I've even started, because I know my heart. Now you can say, yeah, that's you, Peter, you're a miserable, depressed introvert. We know about you, Peter. But other people get up in the morning and say, yes, enough about grace. Whoopee! But I know what's coming. And I've told you this before, but it still makes me laugh. There was always, I don't think it's really quite a Christian, but there was a prayer in the kitchen when I used to work for the NHS temporarily before you got me here. There was a prayer in the kitchen which said, Lord, so far today I haven't upset anybody. I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't broken anything. I haven't lied or cheated. I haven't stolen. And so far it's going good today, Lord. Now in a moment I'm going to get out of bed. And that's when I'm really going to need you. Do you know your own heart? Purity of heart? Really? You go to nearly all the funerals in this land today and you think the person that died, well, it was how wonderful they were. Purity of heart. They've gone to be with the angels. Peacemakers? God blesses the peacemakers. He doesn't bless the warmongers. He doesn't bless those who run around with AK-47 spraying everybody. He doesn't bless those who go around chopping people's heads off. He doesn't bless those who go around throwing acid in the face of people. He doesn't bless those who argue for the sake of it, who will call white black and black white and stir up hatred and malice. What do we see instead of all these things? We see pride. We see pleasure seekers. We see aggressive arrogance, don't we? Instead of hunger for righteousness, we see people saying, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. Okay, I'm going to get a new car. It's 3 years up. I'm full of everything. I'm rich. Somebody on the radio the other day was moaning about this new credit, whatever it is, you get welfare payments. And one mum was talking about her daughter and said, it's terrible, she's really struggling. She's had to give up the telly, the mobile.
That is. We expect everything. Even when we're in a dire strait, I'm rich, I'm increased. Instead of mercy, we see cruelty, don't we? Hardness, I'll get you. Corrupt imaginings, instead of purity of heart. Now, I don't want you to get the impression I spend all my time watching television. But I am a Netflix subscriber, I must admit. I've been watching a program about the making of the mob, the mafia in New York, right from the 30s right up to the 50s. And I could not believe, and I mean, I know I'm pretty naive at times, but I could not believe the corruption in the civic halls, the police forces. I assume they've cleaned up their act right now. Corrupt imagine. All for money, and I think, well, sir, okay, you're getting plenty of dosh, and what do you do with the dosh? You buy a load of stuff with the dosh, and then what happens? Well, you're going to die, and the dosh and the stuff is going to belong to someone else. Corrupt imaginations, you know, it obscures your clarity of thinking. So what? If Richard Branson owns an island in the middle of nowhere, which has just been blown out of water because Hurricane Bertha or whatever it was this time around. So what? You're going to die, Richard. You can't put that off. And then what? Nobody asks the question, and then what? Well, we've managed to quash that one because we signed up to the fairy story, the science fiction called evolution. So we've got rid of God, okay? Because evolution isn't about science, it's about getting rid of God. Corrupt imaginings. You see, when we rebelled against God back in Genesis 3, and this is the only explanation you've got for why things are the way they are. Evolution can't explain this. A stupid theory like that can't explain how it is. You've got all this warped thinking, all these warped attitudes, which refuses to acknowledge the Creator, which it refuses to see what before their very eyes, that you cannot exist and be happy and content without the Creator filling the void in the soul and the heart. We will scramble around for anything and everything. Anything but God. God blesses those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When you become a Christian, don't expect an easy life. You want an easy life? You want a quiet life? Don't become a Christian. If you want a contented, peaceful life with God, if you want a home in heaven, if you want Jesus as your Saviour, if you want a strength and a grace beyond anything you can imagine, to please God, to experience in His blessing, you become a Christian. You get converted today. You hand over your soul and your sin to Him and surrender to Him and ask Him to be your Lord and your Saviour. But if you want a quiet life, we don't do that. You just carry on as you are, breathing on, thinking that when you die you're just going to go into some kind of harmless deep sleep, or if you're really religious, you're going to float along in a crowd of the angels. You carry on like that and you'll find out, to your horror, that's not the case. That is not the case. So here we find, instead of all these things which God can bless and wants to bless, we find the exact opposite in society, don't we? You're in there somewhere. You're in there somewhere. Now I know there's degrees of this, and I know there's very nice and good people, and I'm not being cynical when I say that, they are. But as far as the relationship with God's concerned, we've all got this in us, within us. Culture, education, might refine it a little bit slightly, but basically it can't get to the root of the problem and it can't touch it. You can teach, quote, British values, unquote, whatever they are. They certainly don't include God in the Bible. as Tony Blair once said, it's all about education, education, education. No, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not. It's all about Creator, Creator, Creator. Because until you get aligned with Him, nothing is going to make any sense. You can have all the education, all the politics, all the culture you like. You can listen to Radio 3 or Classic FM from dawn until dusk. It's not going to change a thing. It might make you a bit more serene for a while, till somebody upsets you, or something goes wrong. Then you watch what comes out of the mouth. And incidentally, God is measuring every word that comes, is processed up here, and when it comes out here, it's all going down. He's the perfect accountant. But you see, we fail to understand or comprehend or believe or accept what the Creator tells us. The Creator tells us, you created this mess yourself. You refused to have me as your Creator. You didn't listen to what I said in Genesis 3. You decided to do your own thing. You've messed it all up. There could be so much blessing, so much peace, so much happiness and contentment. Hey, there wouldn't be any need for a Conservative Party or a Labour Party or any other kind of party in the world. You'd have me. I would show you what to do and how to do it. And you could be so happy and contented. No, we do not want that. We do not listen. We do not believe. When God tells us in His Word, the Bible, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. This is God speaking, right? This is not opinions. This is God speaking from His Word, the Bible. This is the fiery preacher down Artillery Street, okay, reading from the Bible. So you have bad things to go, you've only got to preach from the Bible and you're fiery. That's what you've got to do now. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Is it deceiving you now? Oh, yeah, you're a bit OTTP, right? I'm really not that bad. I'm a nice person. Hey, got to be pleased to have me. Desperately wicked. Do you know that? In the eyes of God, who is totally pure, in His searing, blinding holiness, which we've forgotten, we are desperately wicked. And it's not just wickedness, it is a desperate wickedness, because that wickedness is going to send us to hell unless it gets sorted out. That wickedness makes you desperate. Who really knows how bad it is? Do you? You know, sometimes, and I've been a Christian 52 years now, I was 52 years a fortnight ago, I had a quiet little party at home, I had a glass of vinto and a packet of chocolate. 52 years, 2 weeks ago, I've been a Christian. And I still look into my heart today and I see the blackness and what it's capable of, and it appalls me. It dismays me. Although, very quickly following that emotion, the Holy Spirit reminds me that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that in spite of me, I am righteous. But it's all Christ's doing. It's all God's doing. Unless you see your desperate need of the Creator God and His solution to this dilemma, your dilemma, unless you have Jesus Christ in your heart and life as your Lord, your Saviour, unless you surrender to Him, hand over to Him your soul, your heart, your sin, everything to deal with, there's going to be no peace between you and God. There's going to be no peace between your heart and your mind and your will for dissatisfaction and emptiness. Dressed up as much as it is with niceness and goodness. And it's nice to be nice, it's good to be good. I'm not being cynical. But always in your heart there will be those things lurking which are not pleasing to God. And it gets worse. God tells us this. Well, you think that's bad enough? That's your heart. Do you know what the consequences of that is, Tisker? I'm being honest with you. You've got to know the bad news before you get the good news. Do you want to know the worst of it? Your iniquities, your breaking of my word, all your sin, and we all do it, your iniquities have separated you from your God. There's a separation. There's a brick wall. You can't get through to him. You can't make it to heaven. You can never tick enough boxes to please God. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Whoa! God doesn't hear you unless you're praying the right prayer. What's the right prayer he wants to hear from you? Does he want to hear it from the Book of Common Prayer in foreign Elizabethan English? Does he want to hear it from any other prayer book in Latin? Does he want something recited beautifully, wonderfully? No. He wants to hear the right prayer of the heart, from the heart, who knows its need and is reaching out to the Creator. You know all this is true of you. And you cry out, do you? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you prayed that prayer? That's the prayer he hears. That's the prayer he hears. Has he heard it yet from your heart and lips? Has he heard that prayer? He's looking now at your hearts. He's searching you out. He's looking for the turning. Have you gone away from the Lord, believer? Have you grown cold? Have you found toys to play with that the world has been dangling in front of you? Have we lost our first love? Do you find things are getting cold between you and God? Your iniquities have separated you. God, be merciful to me, sir. God, be merciful to me, sinner. Now, there's a whole world of literature, opinions, philosophies that try to explain all this away. There's an endless succession of politicians, sociologists, scientists, celebrities, and reverends on Radio 4, Radio 2, waffling away, explaining, well, because of this and because of that. And what has our national church got to say to the nation? What has Justin Bieber got to say to us? The British economy is broken. Well, thanks a lot, Justin. I'll go to hell with that in my head. Is that it? Pitiful, isn't it? It's pitiful. It's heartbreaking. And we've got the solutions right here in front. You've got it in front of you. You've got a Bible? You should have a Bible. Don't turn up with football unless you're out of football. You've got it in front of you. This is God's Word. This isn't a good, you know, a good read. Well, it is a good read, but it's not just a good read. This isn't a book you get out of the library and think, well, where's the follow-up? Where's the sequel? You've got God's Word in front of you. This is God's Word. This is divine revelation. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Well, I read it every day. Fine. What difference does it make? What difference does he make to you? Come on. We need a reality check. You need a reality check. We just had all the political parties conferences, haven't we? You get all the same old stuff regurgitated, you know, they're all going away at each other. Da 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 da. Like some kind of football crowd from the opposite terraces. It's pitiful, pathetic. And they really think, you listen to them. Year after year, decades I've been listening to this stuff now. They really think they're flawed, human solutions are going to change things. No, really. They really believe it. Anybody with half a brain cell can look and see that nothing's changed. Nothing's changed since Magna Carta. When the first form of, albeit basic,
democracy came into the land.
We've had the same stuff for the past 700 years. Still, it's violated all the laws, and I reckon if you piled up all the parchments of all the statutes and parliaments, they'd probably reach from here to the moon, just in the last 100 years. In spite of all these laws, all these statutes, there is still nothing but heartache, sadness, disappointment, confrontation, friction, emptiness, aching. Just go out in the street outside and you'll see it. Litter everywhere. Who tosses litter on the ground? People that couldn't give a tinker's cuss about the mess it causes, the inconvenience it causes, and I'm all right, and somebody else will sort it out. Just look at the first bit of rubbish you come across, and that is evidence that nothing has changed, and nothing is changing. I take the dog for a walk, there's poo bins and rubbish bins every underground, but still you find it on the floor. Nobody can be bothered to walk 10 feet. Evidence is before you. Hopeless, isn't it? People going down the news agents now, getting their lottery tickets, getting their newspapers, they're trying to fill their lives up with something, anything. Sad. And what about you? What are you filling your life up with? You know, if I could grab you by the scruff of the neck and shove you into heaven, then I'd gladly get out of this pulpit and spend all my time doing that. But it doesn't work like that. You've got to come to the end of yourself, and you've got to just lay down your arms, stop this stupid, pathetic, hopeless rebellion, lay down your arms and surrender. Stop trying. You can't do it. Your iniquities have separated you from God. You're never going to have a drill big enough to drill through the brick wall of your sin to get through to God. You're not going to do it. Okay. This far the preacher's now stepping down. And out of all this mayhem, or rather, into all this mayhem, all this foolishness and pride and aggravation and wrong thinking steps the Son of God. Why? Well, we're told that God loves the world so much, can you believe that? A world has put two fingers up to him and shaking his fist to him. A world that thinks it's so wise and clever, it's quite happy to carry on like pigs in a trough, making a right mess and not realising what they're doing. A world that couldn't care less about the fallout to its actions as long as it gets what it wants. Into this world, this ungrateful, stupid, sinful world, steps a God of love. He still loves this world. He looks upon this world, he looks upon you, and he has so much pity and aching love for his creatures who think they can go it alone. Must break his heart. You know that? You're breaking God's heart. It's pathetic to see. You are breaking God's heart. Why won't you own up and admit it? Why won't you come to him and just lay it all down and say, I can't do this. I'm never going to do this. Nothing satisfies. Politics, evolution, lottery, newspapers, anything. Nothing satisfies, nothing lasts. You come to this God who loves the world still. His hand is held out to you still. Can you believe that? Don't ask me why, but it is. His hand is held out to you this morning. He so loves the world that he gives his only Son, his only begotten, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ agreed to this. And God was prepared to do it, because the only way you're going to get through that brick wall to God, the only way you're going to get to God, is through Jesus Christ. He's the bridge. He's the bridge. John chapter 1 we read, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh, he became human. He made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness.
and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Jesus Christ should be our focal point. Alright, you won't listen to me, the Creator God. You won't see the evidence all around you. You won't see the universe. You'll make up some kind of fairy story theory to explain it all away. I mean, I have to laugh. God sits in the heavens and laughs. You know, a big bang put all these planets in precise and precision laws in all expanse of the universe. And God laughs at this. Have you seen how immense the universe is? Can you imagine there being enough gas to create enough explosion to do that? It's stupid. Apart from the mathematics, which is ridiculous, nothing plus nothing equals everything. God sits in heaven and laughs, and He pities, and He breaks His heart. Foolish man. Foolish man. How long are you going to be a fool? How long are you going to be a fool? Look, if you believe in Him, and that shouldn't mean saying, well, I believe in God. I'm not saying that, because the devil believes in God. He knows God exists. You know, that's nothing unique. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ and what He says about being able to forgive you and change you? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? He is the resurrection and the life. And that only in Him is to be found eternal life. Do you believe that? Have you believed it enough to hand everything over to Him? Have you done that? Then don't tell me you believe in God. That means nothing. When you do this, you have everlasting life. And it starts today. The emptiness is taken away. The aching and the disappointment is taken away. Satisfaction, peace, joy, a home in heaven, mind at rest. No more anxieties, no more vagueness. All found in Jesus Christ. Then you can be blessed because you know that you've got God and you want so much more of Him, and the kingdom of heaven belongs to you from this day on. Then you will be blessed because you know and sense and feel your sin, and you don't like to offend and upset Father, and you mourn over it. But you will be comforted and reassured, because those who confess their sins will be justified and forgiven. You will then have a meek, teachable spirit that's calmed down. And you're going to inherit the earth. In the new heavens and the new earth, you will have a stake in this through Jesus Christ. You will reign with Him. Then you will have a hunger and thirst for God, then your satisfaction will be complete, and you will be filled as you hunger for God. This is what happens to the person who is born again and has handed it all over to Him. Then the positive happens, not the negative and the opposite. And then you, because you know you've received mercy, you become a merciful person. You become far more considerate. Pure in heart. Yes, I know how you feel, believer. But listen, as far as God's concerned, you're covered by the blood, you have the righteousness of Christ, and your heart is pure before Him, and you will see God. Okay? That's guaranteed. No more defeatings. That's the state of affairs for the born-again believer. And when you have peace with God, you want to create peace. You don't want to pile them in there rolling up your sleeve saying, well, I'll show you. A son of God, a child of God, wants peace and will work for peace, as the New English Translation puts it. And when you are persecuted, which you will, and you are, to a lesser or greater degree, and many in some countries are having to do that by giving up their lives, well, yours is the kingdom of heaven. You have everything in Christ. You will reign with Him. I was reading this the other day and I was quite struck by it. Where Stephen is being stoned
and he's about to die, and he knows it, and he looks up to heaven, and he sees Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. Now that's the only time in the whole New Testament that you read, and in the New Old Testament, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, of Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. Every other time he's seated in his authority and his reign. But as his child is about to die, as his child is about to bear witness to him with his life, he stands up to honour him and to receive him. I thought that was a lovely picture. A lovely picture of how much he loves you, how much he's concerned for you, dear believer, and how he's waiting to receive you. That he will honour you by standing up to receive you when your time comes. Will Jesus stand up for you? Will you stand up for Jesus? If you stand up for Jesus and he has your heart and life, he will stand up to receive you. And he will speak up on your behalf before the Father. And he will present you to God the Father. Will that be you? Will that be you? Are you blessed because you have given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I do pray this is so. Humanity, society desperately needs their Creator. You need the Creator. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You've got to come and do business with Jesus. Stop fighting, stop trying, lay down your arms, surrender, fall into his arms of grace and love, and receive him today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.